Welcome to SciTech Culture with Steve Kern and Ben Warner, where we examine science, technology and culture in the 21st century. Visit our website at scitechculture.com.
So we kind of have to visit the tech bros as a topic today because of, a number of stories that I think that have come out in the last month or so, and I don't know if we've really specifically spoken about them anyway in any great detail other than, you know, compared to like the topics associated with them. But I thought it was something we could talk about in the wake of the fact that this social media addiction lawsuit that Meta and Google were found liable in just recently. And you know, there's a lot of hyperbole surrounding it. You know, like there's the media stories about, oh, this is just like how the tobacco companies were taken down. It's like the beginning, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe, and, you know, that's not to say that it couldn't be, especially because I think for years there's been a suspicion that the tech bros have been engineering these platforms to, tech bros and everyone they have working for them, that is, have been engineering these platforms to be deliberately addictive, deliberately, catering to that negativity bias, to the outrage, clickbait type thing that sort of appeals to human psychology so directly to keep you addicted to the platform. And it was just interesting that the actual result in this particular case was they were found liable. And of course, the only thing I've been reading about it, I do remember at the time seeing, you know, a sort of, a distraught, not distraught, but sort of down on his luck looking Mark Zuckerberg walking out of the courthouse and, you know, with the caption that they were going to appeal and whatever. I mean, I personally think this is a good thing. I think we'll get into this in more detail with some of the other topics today that are related, but I think there's this feeling that, you know, none of this really feels good. They keep coming out saying that it's going to be great, that it's going to change the world, that it is improving the world, and they are the ones behind it. And that, it seems like the more time goes on, I think it's more that more and more people are actually finding this unpalatable, shall we say. And the other thing that's, of course, an issue is it's sort of like a smoke and mirrors thing, you know, that, you know, that you maybe it probably is like any other addictive substance or whatnot, and that they've been, you know, basically selling a story that isn't true. And maybe the other thing I'd probably throw in there is that it's a shame because if used correctly, unlike cigarettes, social media could be used for good purposes if used properly, and if it was delivered properly by the tech bros.
Yeah, look, Ben, I have to agree with a lot of what you've said. I mean, it's so interesting though, isn't it? Apple turns 50 and Facebook, for instance, is on the verge of turning 20. And 10 years ago, who would have thought that anything could happen to stop Mark Zuckerberg or to bend him, you know, like towards what the public may want? His platform was doing what he wanted, and the people on his platform were doing what he wanted, which is the way the platforms, of course, have been designed. So, you know, today we see an environment where you've had these people in charge, whether you're talking about Zuckerberg or Musk, you know, the two most prominent examples. 10 years ago, they were feted as geniuses, you know, legends, amazing individuals. And now that people are starting to become more aware of the dangers of their platforms, because they understand now how these platforms work, you do see that sort of public sentiment starting to shift. And the fact that AI, despite the hype, really isn't adding much to our workday except errors by a machine instead of errors by the colleague you can't stand. You know, I think they're starting to run out of narrative. Perhaps that's what will save them, something new.
And it makes me wonder, just on that specific point about, you know, they brought social media into the world with the express intention of this is going to be amazing, this is going to be great, and but it turns out it's not, and it doesn't go that well. And if we bring AI into the conversation, they're running the exact same playbook with that, with a lot of money behind it. Who's to say it's going to be any different, you know, in terms of how it'll turn out?
Well, that's a really great point. As someone who used Facebook pretty much from the time it was publicly released, it was great in those first couple of years. You know, probably great for all the wrong reasons, because there were no protections on there for people. Probably great because, you know, there was no advertising, but you could find anyone, you could talk to people, you'd meet people with similar interests. And I'm talking about this in the positive terms, because we all know the reverse is not so good. But by the same token, as the platform advanced, and of course, you know, the lure of making money on the platform sort of grew, you know, once you had advertising, once the platform itself was able to regulate truth according to the platform, and once they allowed the platform off the hook as publisher, so they allowed those, you know, those tech bros off the hook, that was it. And we've seen it gradually decline to all the worst things that you can imagine. That's where we are today. So it's no surprise that we're starting to see cases like this brought against the tech bros.
And just to build on that, this whole thing about Musk, you know, bringing his own case against OpenAI, essentially, you know, going over like the whole history around how it was went from it was set up as a non-profit, and that he felt like he was taken advantage of by Sam Altman, who was ultimately going to turn it into a for-profit company. And, you know, it may have been, and this is where you know, it's kind of sad really, because potential, like, it's not beyond the realm of possibility or reason to think that Sam Altman did all of that stuff, you know, because that's how they roll in Silicon Valley. But the thing is that, you know, Musk doesn't do himself any favors, especially like in this trial where he's not making himself you know, a sympathetic you know, whatever it is, plaintiff or whatever it is, I can't remember what the name was. He's not making himself any very sympathetic there, and he's also you know, claiming that, you know, hasn't read the fine print on the you know, the actual documents, and he, you know, and it's like, well, maybe all of you should just go and be, you know, burned down at that point if none of it's any good, you know.
Well, I agree. It's interesting. In a more traditional company or organization, there'd be teams of people dealing with these complaints. But this is really, like, if reading about the trial, I find it almost quite bizarre. It's Musk that was having the conversations directly with Altman and the other guy involved. And, you know, they had a deal between themselves, not like an army of lawyers. There's no, you know, pages and pages of legal or, like, you know, briefings or anything that was exchanged between them. No, they had a chat one afternoon. There was a misunderstanding, or somebody did something underhanded, we don't know which, and next thing you know, we're in court watching a couple of tech bros just argue about what they said to each other and what their intent was. And that, to me, is I think it highlights where these people sit in their own organizations, and where the tech bros actually sit on the scale, and it's off the scale, completely off the scale.
Oh, well, I guess maybe Altman might redeem himself too whenever he releases that infamous, mysterious product that he's apparently coming up with Johnny Ive in the background. It's funny that we haven't really heard anything since that wonderful video that they released way back when about that.
That's right. I'm sure they've still got to invent it. They've still got to work out what it is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, another point of view that I came across was this article in The Guardian about, the tech bros are wanting, you know, or needing the world to believe their hype, which is what we've been talking about here, and how, you know, maybe the public is starting to poke holes in that. And the, you know, sort of approach here was, well, why don't we just ignore, you know, what they're on about, really, because there's nothing to say that we have to use, any of these products or systems or whatever it is that they bring in, and we certainly don't have to pay for them. So, I mean, that would be hard to do on a societal level, but if you get enough people that have had enough of it, no amount of them, you know, trying to, you know, claim that, you know, this is the next big thing and you really need to be a part of it's going to convince everyone.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because the traditional internet, which the tech bros built their amazing businesses on, was based on browsers and it was based on eyeballs. And eyeballs really cost nothing because you just put up content, whether it's a cat or, a concussion video or car chase, whatever it is, eyeballs come and you can advertise and sell while you're there. The difference with AI is they actually really have to pay for that, but it doesn't sit with their initial model for Facebook or Google search, even where you can give it away for free because we're going to take all your data and we're going to convert that to money when we sell back to you. AI doesn't really work by that same model. They've walked straight into this without really thinking through it, because obviously there's only four brains between the four of them that are doing this stuff. And, you know, they didn't ask anyone else or listen to anyone else. So they're basing this resource-intensive business now, which is going to suck up a whole lot more energy, requires trillions of dollars of investment, and as you've just pointed out, doesn't really have a mandated return. People will use it, but will people pay for it? That's a good question. So it's a fine line there around their business planning for this as to whether or not they've got it right. And once again, they keep trying the narrative and there's a big difference, you know, but this is something that's really come back to the tech world. If you sell widgets in retail, even if they're tools for business to business, you sell on the basis of your product. The tech bros are going back now and they're selling investment opportunities actually as their product. The AI just happens to be the only thing they've got to show for their trillions. And they're promising people that you invest and you pay these trillions to put in these resources, you'll get your money back. And as we already know and spoke about probably about 3 months ago, everyone would have to be paying $900 a year or something ridiculous like that across a Windows platform to pay, you know, to get a return. You know, I know Amazon was kind of like that in terms of its share price to revenue originally. But at the end of the day, all it had to do was start selling, and it did. I just don't know yet. For all the tech they talk about, nobody's actually explained to us why or how they're going to force us to pay for their investments.
Mm. It's an interesting, little conundrum. And I just, that to me just kind of leads to, you know, the bubble discussion that we've had before, and also that it'll just collapse on itself. And I guess just finally, I was actually thinking too that just if you're looking at it as a pure conceptual thing, they're kind of, this is what happens when you ascend to a position and no one can tell you no. And it's kind of like the classic dictator's dilemma that nobody's going to give you the full and frank advice. And if you're shut off from what, you know, good insight, good advice, good input from others, which a lot of them, I think, are as they've gotten, you know, more and more powerful in their positions, that sort of sows the seeds for their own destruction, I would think, in the end. And some more than others, you know, obviously, you know, you wouldn't say Satya Nadella at Microsoft is sitting in quite that same position, because, you know, they can just chuck another CEO in there if he goes rogue. But someone like Zuckerberg, for instance, he could tank Facebook through his own behavior, because he's the only one that can do anything at Facebook of substance when it comes to the direction of the company. So very interesting. I just, it's interesting how a lot of this, there's a lot of, like, you know, basic old school psychology in there as well.
Very true. I mean, these guys have got their big positions from being first movers, early adopters, etc., etc. And as I say, that model worked. This is a different model now, and we're 15 years on, or almost 20 years on from Facebook. The internet's different. The way we interact with content is different, and the business models have changed. You know, the reason these guys have been making so much money is because they've been getting people to post their breakfast online and other people to like it. Like, you know, you can't do that with AI. I'll be very interested to see. I'm sure they'll work something out. I'll be very interested to see what it is.
Or maybe they won't. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing. All right, Steve, we might wrap it up there. Maybe I'll hop onto Gemini and ask for its opinion. I wonder if it'll give me a an answer that is satisfactory.
It'd be interesting to ask it what it thinks of the Altman Musk case.
Absolutely. As an independent observer. Absolutely. All right, so that's it for this week's episode. We'll catch you next time.